All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you, middle of June edition. Had a little bye week last week for the show, but we are back, and the Bucks have wrapped up their mini camp. They're not back now until training camp starts, but we are into the dead period, as you will. We've got some things to catch up on with what happened at mini camp and a few other things just going on with Tampa sports in general. So thank you for joining me on the show today. You know, I always appreciate you guys taking the time. The Free Stretch, just like it always is, brought to you by our good friends at BillCurryFord.com, where if you're looking for an automobile, whether it's a car, truck, van, SUV, whatever it is, new, pre-owned, used, again, whatever it is, they've got it over there. And all you have to do, I mean, really all you have to do, is go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can start there, check everything out. If you want to stay home or at your office and you don't feel like going over there, they'll bring you the car. And that's not just the one you buy. They'll bring you a car if you want to test drive or look at it. They'll deliver it to your house or your office. If you do want to go, and I recommend going and checking out things in person, big, beautiful lot, big, beautiful showroom, all of it where it's always been a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's there on the east side of the road just north of Hillsboro. And no matter what you do in person, at home, whatever, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means you are protected against engine trouble or what have you. As long as you own the car you bought from Bill Curry before, you take it back to the service center and you're covered, which is huge. Also, you get the roadside assistance. You get free oil changes for the first year and all that good stuff. So check it out. There's no better deal going anywhere. And, you know, used cars are hot right now, but the inventory is also hot at Bill Curry Ford. So you've got plenty to choose from. BillCurryFord.com. Or a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, one of the most valuable platforms I could think of on the best place for Bucks coverage. And you know, the offseason's here now, so you might think things slow down. Not a Joe Bucks fan. Joe Bucks fan is a 365-day-a-year website, and there's always news. There are always things going on. They were at minicamp. I didn't get a chance to go over there, but the Joes were there. And so the Bucks had all 89 players there. They've got two guys that haven't signed yet in Joe Tryon, the first-round pick, obviously, the edge rusher out of Washington, and the third-round pick, Robert Hainsey from Notre Dame. He's a tackle. But, you know, they still sign, like, mini-contracts just for training camp, so they don't, or just for mini-camp, so they can actually sign, like, a you know, whatever it is, a week-long contract to make them eligible for that, because you can't go out there without a contract. But they had all 89 people whose rights the Bucks have there at camp. It was good to see. Of course, Tom Brady was the one who had the most eyes on him. And he had that surgery, you know, and we had seen him working out over at the Yankees facility and some other things, and he's fine, but he was out there at one Buck place, and he had the sleeve on his left knee. Everything looked fine. Everything looked good. So they had two practice fields going, mainly like one for like the starters and key reserves, and then the other one for guys further down the roster. So they had Brady and Gabbert working on the main field. They had Kyle Trask and Ryan Griffin working on the second field. So everybody got a lot more reps that way, and Bruce Arians said he was pretty happy with how things had gone. As far as like questions, I know a lot of people were asking questions. Well, what did you see about the running back situation? Could you tell anything? And there's no, I think we're going about the running back thing a little bit too technically. We're a little bit too black and white with it. And I think everybody wants to have it declared. So-and-so is number one, and then there is a clear number two on the depth chart. Kind of like in baseball, where in the old days, like people wanted to have like your middle relief guys, and then there's a closer. Like this guy is the closer. And, you know, it's not like that anymore for most. Some teams still do it. But now you just, depending on the situation, could use any number of people depending on what that situation is. And it doesn't matter if it's the eighth or the seventh or the ninth or whatever. Whereas it used to be, this is the closer. He comes in the ninth period. And we realized little by little that was kind of dumb. And you didn't have to do it that way. And you could kind of tailor your usage of players to the matchups happening or the situation of the game. I think it's the same with the running back. And Arians did say that will be decided in camp. So there was nothing decided as far as the mini camp goes. But I think people need to just get off the whole number one, number two running back. They've got, and it's not just those two, but those are the main two. They have Giovanni Bernard as well. And you've got those two guys. And I mean, if a guy comes in to start the game the first series, and then he comes out and the next guy plays three series, Are you really all hung up on who the quote-unquote starter was or who's getting the bulk of the carries? I mean, you could look at it mainly as that. And again, game situations may determine that, depending on if you're looking for pass catching and pass blocking, if you're looking for a masher, if you're looking for, I mean, whatever the hell it is. I don't even know what it'll end up being. But the point is, it's not that big of a deal. And you're all too focused on running backs anyway, because they're interchangeable and they don't matter as much as a lot of you guys think they do. So that's something a lot of people were asking about. And I mean, you could tell me it's, George Jetson back there, and I'd be fine with it, as long as he could throw a couple of, swing routes, catch a couple swing routes out of the backfield. It doesn't even matter. It's not nearly as big of a deal as a lot of people make it out to be. So now we're off into the offseason. The Bucs do not have to be back there until training camp itself. That'll be in late July. Then they'll start getting ready for the three preseason games. And, of course, the first game, the Thursday nighter against the Cowboys at Raymond James Stadium. And it will all be very exciting. As for now, I wanted to mention this on the show today because obviously this is on JoeBucksFan.com or a Bucs show, but it's not just a Bucs show, the free stretch. It's a Tampa sports show. And with what's going on right now with the Lightning, I wanted to take just a moment because they just finished up their series against Carolina in the second round, beat the Hurricanes in five games, and now they're playing in, this is normally the conference finals, the final four teams, but there are no conferences this year in the NHL. There's just four divisions, so it's the league semifinals, but same thing. It's the round of four, and that's a big deal, and I think with the Lightning having done as well as they've done lately, and Tampa sports in general having done as well as it's done lately, we're taking it for granted a little bit. And I'm going to say it right now. I'm taking it for granted. Like, they won the other night. I was like, yeah, cool. They needed to close that series out. They absolutely should have done that. Let's see if we play the Islanders or the Bruins. Turns out it's the Islanders now. But, like, then I had to stop myself. I was like, this is a big deal. Like, this is something that I used to be able to remember every single instance of it happening in Tampa sports, because there have been so few of them that I can remember where I was. I'm talking about just getting to the semifinal round, just getting to the final four, whether it's the NFC Championship game for football, whether it's the league championship series for baseball, or whether it's the conference finals for hockey. Like, that's a really big deal. And I totally, like, the other night when they clinched, it was Tuesday night when they beat Carolina, I was like, cool, okay, yeah, next series, let's go. Like, didn't even think anything of it. And I shouldn't do that, because I remember, I mean, I want to go back in a time machine and I want to tell, like, 15-year-old me, sophomore at Jesuit High School, pimple-faced, obsessed with Tampa sports, I want to go tell him, yeah, yo, dude, the Lightning are going to make the conference finals for 5 times in 7 years, 6 times in 11 years, and by the time they get to the sixth one, you're going to be like, yeah, okay, like, you're not even going to think it's that big of a deal. And I'd overload if that was, like, 15-year-old me hearing all that. I still remember the Lightning making their first playoffs against the Devils, or against the, the Devils are the ones who lost to get them in. They played the Flyers in the first round. And I mean, that was like the biggest thing ever, just to see a playoff game. And the same thing with the Bucs in 97. So enjoy what's going on right now, because this, I counted them up. Between the Bucs, Rays, and Lightning, the four major sports, we have three of them. So between the Bucs, Rays, and Lightning, this right now for the Lightning is the 96th combined season of play for any of our three sports teams, the Bucs, Lightning, Rays. And this is the 13th time now that they've been to this round or later, meaning the semifinal round where four teams were left in the whole league. And so that averages out to almost exactly once every 8 seasons, which, if you figure three teams, that's one semifinal appearance every 3 years or so. And if you've been around these parts as long as I have, you're thinking right now, oh, it really doesn't feel like one of our teams makes it to the final four of their league every 3 years. And yeah, that's because it hasn't worked out that way. The average is once every 3 years, but that's because of the overload of success we've been witnessing over the past decade or so. Like I said, Lightning, 5 times in 7 years. 5 times in 7 years. And if you go back to 2011, the sixth time in 11 years, and 2011 is when Jeff Vinnick took over. For the Bucs, they've been to 4 in 45 seasons where they've been to the NFC Championship game or further, including this past season. And for the Rays in 23 seasons, they've been twice to the league championship series or further. They won both times and got to the World Series where they lost both times. But if you just take the last 11 years out of it, like the last 11 years, okay, is when almost all this stuff had happened. But if I took you back in a time machine to 2010, it was just five of those appearances combined in 63 seasons. And that sounds more like what I'm used to as a Tampa sports fan. Like, that number makes sense. But I'm looking at this. I wrote this down. I'm looking. We are averaging an appearance in the conference championship round of whatever sport it is once every eight seasons or three-ish years. It just doesn't sound right, but that's because, I mean, the Lightning especially, but not just the Lightning. The Bucks are coming off their championship, and then the Rays are coming off their American League championship. And it's just, you know, I know 2020 was obviously a very weird year. We're getting back kind of to normal right now. The Lightning are going to go up to 14,800 people for their semifinal round series against the Islanders, which starts Sunday, and they do have home ice for that one, so they'll start at home on Sunday at 3 and play their Sunday and Tuesday games 1 and 2. So, you know, we're getting to the point where it can feel a little bit normal again, but for the Bucks, that won't start until the preseason in August, and, you know, for the Rays, it's kind of getting there too now. You can go to a Rays game, you know, just so you guys know, you can go to a Rays game now if you want to. And they're doing pretty well, you know, with that whole best record. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, oh, yeah, Lightning semifinal round. Bucks off the Super Bowl. We've been through that. Rays right back at it after the World Series loss. Ah, they got the best record in baseball. No big deal. They're just mowing people down. I mean, it's like here's the thing. You can't help but not take stuff for granted. Like, even when you tell yourself, and this goes for not just sports but for things in general, I've learned this. You know, the whole, you don't realize what you have till it's gone. That's the most true thing. Even when you have it and you say, no, I'm actively going to realize I have it. You can try. Oh, yeah, I have this thing. This thing is awesome, right? But you, believe me, you have to, like, 10 years from now or whatever, when things are, like, just ho-hum and the Lightning are just, you know, a random team in the NHL. I'm not saying that's going to happen anytime soon, but it will happen. I mean, it will happen with everybody. It's cyclical. So 10 years from now, let's say, just picking a random number, Bucks are ho-hum, Lightning ho-hum, Rays ho-hum, whatever, you'll look back on this and be like, oh my God, that was incredible. But right now you're like, yeah, this is cool. I swear this is cool. But you can't. Like, you can't truly process it till you lose it. So try your best. I'm sitting back and I'm trying to soak it all in myself. But I do think it will be some time, despite whatever efforts we make to acknowledge it now, I think it'll be some time till we truly realize how special this all is. And, you know, just soak it in as much as you can, man. And, you know, like, the Bucks coming out here, and Tom Brady was asked about this, Bruce Arians was asked about this in, you know, some of the press conference stuff they did at the minicamp. And, you know, you have to just understand, like, it's not automatically going to happen again. People are penciling the Bucks in as the NFC South champion. And they're favorite. We got the Falcons, who've got, you know, seemingly on the downswing. They're not bad. Julio Jones just left. Panthers weren't very much anything special, and they've got a new quarterback who hasn't really done anything. Saints are trying to decide between two guys at quarterback that, you know, I mean, obviously Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. And we all know about Jameis Winston. I mean, like, nobody in the league scares you. Nobody in the division scares you. I know. But that doesn't mean the Bucs are a shoe. And even if they do win, they, you know, last year they had to go on the road. They were a wild card. They had to win three in a row in some really tough environments, or maybe not crowd environments, but tough places to win. And this year, hell, they might go 12-4, 13-3 instead of 11-5. And they might have a first round bye and be at home. And they might just lose anyway. Like, just because something happened once doesn't mean it's going to happen again. And even if you have a better setup the second time, you might lose during the time you had a better setup, even though you won when you had to go on the road three times. I mean, don't think, like, the playoffs are too random for that. I mean, the regular season, it's one thing. Yes, the Bucks should have a good record. Like, I think that should happen. But I'm never going to say they should win it again, like, the whole thing. Like, nobody ever should win anything. This stuff's just way too random. And Tom Brady said that. He said, you know, people have to realize, like, it's a new year. Just because something was a certain way last year does not mean it will be that way again, even if you bring everybody back and all that stuff. So, you know, don't even let your mind wander. Just let's get ready for the Cowboys. Like, that's all I'm thinking about right now. And that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's going to be the first time the Bucks have gotten to play a home game in prime time to open up the season. And they didn't get to do that when they won the Super Bowl the other time they won it. So, you know, everything until, you know, through the summer and training camp and the preseason, just focusing on that one game. And then after that, we'll focus on the next game. And that, I mean, that's really all it has to be. Like, don't get ahead of yourself. It's to just enjoy the stuff we've got going on now. And for right now, you know, with the Bucks down, it's Rays and Lightning. And that's going to be fine. Hold you over for the summer while we do some fun things. And we are going to do fun things. And another thing I was wanting to talk about today, and this is another thing we're looking ahead to, speaking of championships. I know it's not Bucks related, but it's football related. And I'm a huge college football guy. But the news that the college football playoff is going to be expanding, probably, I mean, it's not official, but this is the recommendation. They're going to do it. They might tweak a couple things about it. But the college football playoff is going from four teams to potentially 12. And so it's by far the biggest change going from one format to another college football has ever seen. There's been a lot of change overall in college football over the decades. It's usually been very, very, very incremental. You know, first we had a just random bowl free-for-all, and then we had a bowl coalition for a little bit there in the 90s. Then we tried the BCS, which was, we still have bowls, but we're going to put number one and two in a bowl no matter what, so at least we have that. You know, then we did, now it's a, the change from the BCS to the 14 playoff was a pretty big change. We'd never done anything like that with a bracket. And now, though, even that was just adding another round where it went from two to four. This is going from four. I thought they might go to eight, you know. I was actually surprised they're going to do 12 teams if they end up doing that. But, you know, I think COVID, in a way, you know, kind of made that a more rapid transition because there's a lot of money to be made out there, and a lot of teams didn't make that money in 2020, and now everybody's looking to make that money back in 2021. And look at the price. The Lightning, like I said, the Lightning are, you know, going almost to full capacity. They're not all the way there, but 14,800 is like 75%, I think, something like that. So you'd think, okay, well, the prices will probably get kind of back to normal now because at first they had to charge more just because there was so many fewer tickets. The upper deck for the Lightning series, I think, is like, and this is not even the finals. This is the, you know, semifinals. I think it's like 180 or something for the uppers. I mean, like, that's quick. It went up big and it went up quick, you know. And then Bucks tickets, I know, were going up a little bit, not as drastic, but they were going up. And you know, people are trying to make all that money back. And the college football playoff games is not so much the tickets, but it's the TV revenue that we always knew was out there. And so, yeah, they're doing 12. Now, here's my thoughts on it. Because I go back and forth. I'm a very big college football guy. I've been watching it all my life. I am a traditionalist. I'm all, you know, I'm not against having bowls exist or anything like that. And I did like, the one thing I've always liked about college football is that it's the only sport, you know, people say, why can't college football be like all the other sports? Well, why do you have to be like all the other? One of the things that made college football special was that it wasn't like the other sports, even football. It wasn't like the NFL, which I love as well. But one of the things I always loved about college football that no other sport had, especially if you're a fan of a good team that like contends for national championships, is that feeling when you're watching a game and something maybe doesn't go so well, or you're looking like you might be on the ropes a little bit, just for that game, and being, oh my God, our whole season's about to go down. Like, not just that game. You know, in the NFL, it sucks to lose, but okay, we lost, you know, no big deal. In every other sport, you play five bazillion games. But college football, especially when it was the BCS, when it was two teams, or before that, even less, and you'd be, you know, you could be 9-0 and playing that game to go 10-0 and you're about to lose, and it's like, well, I mean, if we lose, that's it, we're done. Like, every game felt like a playoff game. I can think back of so many Gator games over the years where, again, you'd be playing somebody or your big favorite or whatever, and you're maybe tied in the third quarter or you're in a tight one, and one play, one series, one red zone possession where you get a field goal instead of a touchdown, and your whole season flashes before your eyes, like, oh my God, if we don't get this done right here and now, this is it. Like, we're not playing for just this game, playing for the whole thing. That's a cool thing. But here was the thing about that. And here's why my mind has opened to having expansion where it wasn't before. You only got to feel that feeling if you were a fan of a few select teams that were in national title contention. And that's only a very small percentage. I think having 12 teams involved, and I would have done 8, and what they're going to do is, just to go back for a second, there's 10 conferences in college football. Okay, there's 5 that are known as the Power 5, the big boys, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-10, and the Big 10, or excuse me, the Pac-12 and the Big 10. And then there's 5 smaller conferences, which are like, you know, kind of the equivalent of mid-majors in college basketball, like the Sun Belt, the American Athletic Conference, which is kind of a tweener, wants to be a Power 5, not quite. What are the other 3? The MAC, the Mountain West, and I'm spacing out on the other one right now. But anyway, the point is, there's those 10 conferences. The top 6 conference champions are going to be automatically in, and then 6 at-large teams. So with 5 power conferences, that means one of the smaller guys, one of the little guys, is guaranteed to get in. But not just what could be more, just one's guaranteed. But with last year, for example, it would have been actually 4 of the power conferences, and 2 of the smaller ones were higher ranked, because I mean, Pac-12 champion Oregon wouldn't have even been an automatic qualifier, because you had Cincinnati out of the American Athletic and Coastal Carolina out of the Sun Belt. So here's my thing with that. The one thing I couldn't ever accept about college football, there's no sport, I don't care how much you want to talk about how unique you are or whatever, there's no sport where it's okay for a team to go undefeated and just be told, okay, yeah, that's it. Like, you don't keep, every single one of those 130 teams, I don't care if it's, like I said, Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt or Alabama in the SEC, every single team that's part of a group of teams that's supposedly considered equal, or at least on equal status as far as their division, should be able to start their season saying, hey, if we beat who's in front of us, we get to keep going. And that was the part I just couldn't reconcile. Like, you can't have undefeated teams. And it was happening as recently as, you know, 15 years ago to even big teams. Auburn went undefeated in 2004 and got told, oh, you're done, you can go to the Sugar Bowl, but it doesn't matter what you do, you don't win anything. I mean, that can't happen. So, to me, outweighing all else is the idea that, or UCF, for example, since we're in Florida, probably have a lot of UCF people that might listen. You know, whatever side you come down on, whether you think UCF gets to claim a mythical national championship or whether you think those fans are idiots that pretend they could have beaten Alabama, the point is, if you're undefeated, you need to keep playing. You know, we need to actually see it happen one way or the other. So put them in, like put them in. You could have done that with 8 teams. If it was up to me, I'd do an 8 spots where it's the top 6 conference champions and 2 at-larges. But either way, this is fine. I mean, it's not perfect. There is no perfect way to do it. Football's not a sport. You can have a perfect playoff format, college football at least, because there's just too many teams and you can't play enough games. You just can't. You can't physically play 20-something games. So I think this will be fun. I think what it will mean more than anything is there'll be more games that have import nationally later in the season instead of just 1 or 2 teams that are trying to win and get in that playoff spot. You're going to have not just the conference championship races will matter now, because usually I don't care who wins the, you know, a conference if it's not going to be a playoff team anyway. But you'll have battles for those at-larges and stuff like that too. And some people think it waters it down. It might. You know, it's another thing is you have to see this stuff in action to know if you like it or not. You can speculate. You know, I thought I was going to love the 4-team format. I mean, I thought I was going to love the 4-team format. I was like, this is perfect. You know, you still want it to be exclusive. You still want it to be hard to get in. But now you've got where you won't eliminate anybody who's really deserving. And I thought it was going to be great. And the 4-team playoff has been boring as all hell. And I don't know if that's the format's fault necessarily as the landscape of college football, but this could end up being boring as all hell. You know, the same 4 teams could still end up being the ones that win it. They just have to play another round or two. But I do think, you know, people say, oh, now the regular season's meaningless. There's 2 sides to that coin, because on one side, yeah, you don't want to see like Florida State and Florida, for example, and people are saying, oh, well, maybe the Gators or FSU should rest their starting quarterback because they've already clinched a playoff spot. You know, you don't want to get anybody hurt. That'd be a bad thing for college football. But I don't think that's going to happen. On the flip side, though, now if a team is, you know, 9-2 going into their final game, they're still playing in big games late in the season, whereas it used to be now, or as of now in the past few years, you know, once you lost that second game, you're pretty much just playing for whatever the hell, you know, bowl game that you didn't care about anyway. You know, whether you went to the Fiesta Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or the Peach Bowl, or instead of step down to the Citrus Bowl or the Outback Bowl or whatever the hell. That's the key word, whatever. That's how it felt. Now those games will matter more. And here's the other thing. This is my favorite part, actually. Games at neutral sites are boring. I don't have any desire for a game between two big-time college football teams that have rich histories, cool stadiums, and cool campuses to be played at some just antiseptic NFL stadium just because. So what we're going to have now, the first round games, the top four teams will get a bye. So four, one through four are off. Five will play 12, six will play 11, so on and so forth. Teams 5, 6, 7, and 8 will host those games on campus. That's going to be fun. So, you know, imagine if you're an FSU fan or a Florida fan or, you know, around in these parts. Imagine like the Gators going to Notre Dame in December, or imagine FSU playing a game at the Coliseum in LA, playing USC in December, or imagine like Michigan coming to Gainesville, or imagine, you know, imagine Nebraska coming to Tallahassee for a playoff game. Like, that's cool. Like, we need more of that. Like, that, these games should be on campus. And it's not clear if they're doing that for the second round games where the top four teams would finally play their first game, but I think they should do that too. So anyway, my point is, you know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more open-minded to certain things, and I've also learned that until you see something in practice, it's hard to say what you really feel about it. On the other hand, once you do something, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So we're not going back to a two-team format. We're not going back to a four-team format. You know, we're up to 12. I think they'll stay at 12 for a while, but, you know, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 15 or 20. They'll be, oh, well, why not 16? Yeah, FCS, the Division I AA, as it used to be known, they're at 24 right now, and on and on and on. And so the thing I've learned is just try to enjoy what's in front of you for what it is and realize that it's all entertainment and, you know, just hope for the best. I think this will be cool, though. I think it will be. As for the NFL, we know their playoff format, and, you know, the Bucs were able to navigate it pretty well as a wild card this past year. We hope that's not the case this year. We hope there's home playoff games at Raymond James Stadium. There still hasn't been one of those, okay? A home playoff game at Raymond James Stadium. Besides the Super Bowl. Obviously, I know the Super Bowl. I'm not forgetting about that. But that's different because not as many people have access to be able to go to that. But a true, like, you know, non-neutral site home playoff game at RJS still was 2007 when they lost to the Giants. That was, you know, going on 14 years ago. So that's something else to look forward to possibly for this year. But as for right now, like always, if you have thoughts or anything you want to bring up on the show, email me. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. I love talking to people through that. Like I said, whatever you're doing, the Lightning plays Sunday at 3. Enjoy that. We got a big weekend coming up, and we got, you know, some offseason coming up. So the free stretch is going to keep going. I'll do a show next week. I may take another week off after that. I'm not sure. We'll have plenty to talk about, whether it's general cushion and discussion, anything with the Bucks, we'll keep you updated on. And, of course, JoeBucksFan.com is the place you can just keep it dialed into. Follow them on Twitter, at JoeBucksFan, or go to the website, JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to them for giving me this platform. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Fort for sponsoring the show. That's a mid-June edition of the Free Stretch. I'm Bobby Fenton, back next week. And until then, have a great weekend. Be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.